Thank you for joining us today. For more information about our service times, visit okoegt.com. Also, stay in touch with us on social media by liking us on Facebook and following us on Instagram at okoegt. Now let's prepare our hearts as we go into the message.
Hey, take your Bible out, hold it high in the air. Say this after me. This is my Bible, God's holy word. I am what it says I am. I will do what it says for me to do. I place myself under the authority of God's word. It says I am blessed, therefore I am blessed. It says I am an overcomer, therefore I overcome every obstacle, every challenge, and every hindrance through the name above every name, Jesus Christ. I open my heart, I open my mind to receive God's word. I receive this word, and I confess this word in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now take that same Bible and turn with me to the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 7. As you're turning there, I want to recognize Pastor Blair, pastor of St. Paul AME Church in Winter Garden. God bless you, my friend. Some of your parishioners are here. Can we give them a hand for being in the house of the Lord? Pastor Blair, God bless you. Amen. I'm thankful for the goodness of God. I'm thankful for the opportunity that we have to worship God together. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, began reading in verse 1 out of the New Living Translation. When Solomon had finished praying, fire flashed down from heaven and burned up the burnt offerings and sacrifices. And the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple. The context of our passage is the dedication of the temple that Solomon had built to the Lord. In chapter 6 of 2 Chronicles, chapter 5 and chapter 6, you see that they had prepared all the furnishings. The temple was completed. They had brought all the furnishings and placed them in their rightful place. The Ark of the Covenant is now in the Holy of Holies. They've been offering sacrifices to the Lord. Worship has been taking place. And when Solomon finished praying, the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glorious presence of the Lord filled it. Now go down to verse 11. So Solomon finished the temple of the Lord as well as the royal palace. He completed everything he had planned to do in the construction of the temple and the palace. Then one night the Lord appeared to Solomon and said, I have heard your prayer. How many are thankful the Lord hears your prayers? How many are thankful God hears the cries of his people? I have heard your prayer, and I have chosen this temple as the place for making sacrifices. Now, notice verse 13. At times, I might shut up the heavens so that no rain falls, or command grasshoppers to devour your crops, or send plagues among you. Says there may be some difficult times. There may be some hard times. There may be some adverse times. But verse 14 gives us a prescription, if you would, of what to do in these moments. Then, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. Can you say amen? Amen. This passage, the setting of our passage, is a time of great national pride. King Solomon has built the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. But what made it the temple of the Lord was the presence of God. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church of Corinth, says this: "Know ye not that ye are the temple of the Lord?" God's Spirit lives and abides within you. God's Spirit lives and dwells within you. The moment you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, the moment you confess Him as your Savior, you repent of your sins, you call out to Him, the blessed Holy Spirit comes and takes up residence in your heart. What sets you apart from others is the presence of God. Today we start a three-part series on God, Do It Again. This has been our theme for 2023. And today's title is this: Lord, Heal Our Land. How many believe God needs to work and move in our land again today? Let's talk, first of all, you'll notice in your notes, the need for healing. Write that word, healing. Let's talk about the church for a moment. The church was born in spirit power. If you go to the New Testament in the book of Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, it says they were gathered together in one place, they were in one accord, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, and the power of God descended upon them. In verse 14 of that same chapter, Peter says this: he stepped forward with the other 11 apostles and shouted to the crowd, "Listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is too early for that. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy." Peter is describing what was taking place in the streets of Jerusalem. And he says, this is that which Joel prophesied about. See, the church was birthed in spirit power. The day of Pentecost was when the Spirit of God invaded the heart and lives of those tarrying and waiting for the promise given by Jesus Christ. And the church was birthed in power. The church must be sustained in spirit power. You'll notice the early church was sustained in spirit power. Fast forward 20 or so years and go to Acts chapter 19. In verse 17, you'll see revival is breaking out in the city of Ephesus. The story of what happened spread quickly all through Ephesus to the Jews and Greeks alike. Solemn fear descended on the city, and the name of the Lord Jesus was greatly honored. Many who became believers confessed their sinful practices, and a number of them who had been practicing sorcery brought their incantation books and burned them in a public bonfire. The value of the books was several million dollars, so the message about the Lord spread widely and had a powerful effect. I read this passage for you to see that the church, some 20 or plus years later, is still being sustained in the Spirit of God, the power of the Lord. Revival was breaking out. And just as the church was birthed in power, so the church must be sustained in power today, in the anointing of the Lord. I appreciate all the technology that we have. I appreciate the online. I appreciate the big screen. I appreciate the lights that move. I appreciate the fog that comes down. But church, without the anointing of God, we are nothing. Without the Spirit of the living God, we are nothing. We need the Spirit of God to fill His church once again. Can somebody give Him praise today? We need God to heal and to work and to move in the church today. Barna Research did a study on why young people are leaving the church, and their research showed several different reasons. One reason that stood out to me is young people depart church as young adults because something is lacking in their experience of church. One third of them surveyed said church is boring. They must not go to a Pentecostal church. One quarter of those young adults said that faith is not relevant to their career or interests. 23% said the Bible is not taught clearly or often enough. 3 points in a poem won't do. It's the word of the living God that changes hearts and lives. As the Church of Jesus Christ, we come together to proclaim the message of Jesus, to preach the word, to preach biblical truth. I submit to you that the generation coming up is looking for accuracy. They're looking for authenticity. They're looking for the truth, and it's found within the pages of this book. And may we be a church that proclaims the truth of Jesus Christ, proclaim the truth of the word of God, and may we not stray from the teachings of that truth. One-fifth, 20% of those young adults who attended church as a teenager said, God seems missing from my experience of church. In other words, they came to church and couldn't sense His presence. They went to church but didn't really know Him. They went to church but didn't have altar times, didn't have times where they could flesh out their experience with the Lord. I've been here going on 25 years. January starts my 25th year. And I can tell you this, if the Lord gives me strength to continue another 25 years, we're going to pursue the presence of God like never before. We're going to keep proclaiming the word of God like never before. My stories won't change you. My bad jokes ain't going to help you. Hear me. My well-crafted sermons won't change you. But what will is the Spirit of the living God. What will is the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We must proclaim the truth. We are a church that was birthed in power, and we must be a church sustained in the power of the Spirit of God. Can somebody give Him praise? There's a question that comes out. Do we still need the church? Is the church relevant today? Absolutely. The church is to be a birth center of power and anointing. There was an article I saw from Brian Zahn titled, Do We Still Need the Church? Brian Zahn is a pastor and author and holds a strong belief in the continued relevance and the importance of the church. And he writes in the article, each year approximately 2.7 million people in America cease to be active church members. With Christians steadily departing the church, churches are steadily disappearing. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, more than 4,000 churches close every year. For every new church plant, 4 churches close. Church, I think what we need is revival. Revival in the church today. There's a need for a fresh wind of the Holy Spirit. The world needs the church because the world without the church will soon be a world without Christ. This is a fact, and there is no way around it. Despite all of its flaws and failures, the church has been and remains that which keeps the story of Jesus alive. If the story of Jesus is to be found in our world, the gospel story of his birth, his life, his teaching, his miracles, his death, his resurrection, it is because the church keeps telling the sacred story. Why is the church important? Because Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Why is the church important? It's because the church keeps retelling the story of Jesus. We keep proclaiming the story of Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his life, his miracles. There's hope in the story of Jesus. Is the church important? Yes, the church is important. We have a responsibility today to be the church. We have a responsibility to be a part of the church. I love the church because I love Jesus. As long as the world needs Jesus, it will need the church. The church needs you and me to be a part. So let me say it on our behalf. Lord, we love your church. Send revival to your church. Remember, we're talking about the need for healing. Need for healing in our churches. Write this, the need for healing in America. America was born in a Judeo-Christian climate. It must be sustained in a Judeo-Christian climate. Jerry Sherry writes in his article, Judeo-Christian Values. Our founding fathers separated church from state, but they wisely did not separate God from state. They acknowledged God as the source of our rights. And in fact, they were careful to place biblical morality directly into our founding documents and laws, and into our values and culture, precisely to help prevent a future of totalitarian or tyrannical rule in America. The combination of keeping Judeo-Christian religious morality in the state as opposed to the church itself, and additionally setting up our laws based on reason and common sense, has contributed to the American character and to what is known as American exceptionalism. Our challenge today is, we are becoming a society directly opposed to God, taking any remnants of God out of society. Church, we need God to heal our land. We need the church to be the church, a place full of the power of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of Christ, and the fire of the Holy Ghost. We need to see the miraculous, the freedom of the Holy Spirit. We need to see new converts coming to saving knowledge and disciples being discipled in their faith. And remember, we need healing in the streets of America. We all have challenges. America has its challenges. But my hope and my prayer is this, is that we will return to God. It starts with you and me. I don't have influence. I don't have the ability to change the White House or the senators or the congressmen, but I have ability to get on my knees and pray. I have ability to come to the house of God and worship. I have the ability to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have the ability to tell the story of Jesus over and over again. And with you and I keep telling the story of Jesus over and over again, things begin to change. Things begin to happen. Remember, we're talking about our need for healing. Write this, in our families. We need healing in our homes. Absolutely, the homes of America are under attack. The institution of marriage, the foundation of our society, is under attack. Many homes are filled with conflict and destruction, hurt and abuse. We need God to heal our homes. We need God to heal our land. So let's take a few moments and talk secondly about the conditions for healing of our land. Amen. Let's read verse 14 again if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins and restore their land. The first thing that we can do and must do is humble ourselves. This has to do with the acknowledgement that people have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. To humble ourselves is to acknowledge God's way is the right way. That God's standards are the correct standards. That God's way to blessing, that God's way to prosperity and happiness and abundance is by living according to biblical standards. Our way leads to lack. It leads to spiritual drought and a lack of abundance. See, the conditions of God hearing our land is for you and I to humble ourselves, first of all, under his lordship. Say, Lord, I surrender myself to you. I surrender myself to your teaching, to your ways, to your truth. Secondly, write this, we must pray. Prayer is the attitude of dependence on God. See, when you pray to the Lord, you're declaring, God, I need you. God, I depend on you. God, I trust you. God, I want you. God, I need you. I'm going to pursue your presence. I believe it's high time for the church once again to pursue the presence of God like never before. You'll notice in this verse, it also says this, to seek his face. This has to do with walking in obedience to God and to his way. This has to do with obeying the revelation that we have been given. To seek his face is to seek his way. To seek his face is to go after the presence of God. There's a passage in the Old Testament that we love here at Glad Tidings. And if you've been coming any length of time, you've heard this passage read on several different occasions. And it's found in the book of Exodus 33. And the Lord is talking to Moses and he says, how long will you tarry here? It's time to keep moving. Moses said in verse 15, if you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. Notice his determination. If you don't personally go with us, Lord, don't make us leave this place. How will anyone know that you look favorably on me and on your people, if you don't go with us? For your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all other peoples on the earth. Your talent sets you apart. No. Your giftings set you apart. No. All the material possessions you have set you apart. No. All the knowledge you have and all the wisdom you can espouse sets you apart. No. What sets us apart is the presence of God. And Moses was determined, God, we're not going to leave this place. Don't make us leave this territory. Don't make us break camp unless you personally go with us. Because the very thing that distinguishes us from other peoples of the earth is your glorious presence. Church, I submit to you that what sets the church apart from other organizations, from other clubs and social things and different areas of our society is the presence of the living God. So we cannot move from this place unless the Lord moves with us. Moses recognized it was his presence, God's presence, that set him apart. And church, what sets us apart is the presence of God. We are the body of Christ. How can the body of Christ function without the Spirit of Christ? I don't want to be caught just going through the motions. I don't want to be caught just going through the rituals. I don't want to be caught just going through the formality. I want the presence of God to fill me. I want the presence of God to change me. I want the presence of God to transform me. I want the presence of God to empower me. It's nothing like the favor of God. Favor of God will open up doors that you never dreamed possible. The enemy will come in one way, but guess what? He's going to flee from you seven ways, all because of the goodness of God, the presence of the Lord. All because of the Spirit of God that's living within you. No weapon that is formed against you shall be able to prosper. It shall not stand. Why? Because the Spirit of God lives and abides and dwells within you. Does the church need the Spirit of God? Absolutely. God, heal our land. God, heal us. Write this under D. We must turn from our wicked ways. Turn from wrongdoing. Turn from unrighteousness. Turn from things displeasing to the Lord. And turn to. We call this repentance. Or turning from in order to turn to. You turn from the world to turn to God. Which brings us to our final thought. The results of this powerful prayer. When you pray this prayer, things begin to happen. Go back to the opening verses of the chapter. When Solomon finished praying, fire flashed down from heaven and burned up the burnt offerings and sacrifices. And the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple. The priest could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glorious presence of the Lord filled it. The temple was the place where the glory of the Lord filled the house. We, the church, there's something powerful which happens when God's people come together in one accord. And just as the glory of the Lord filled the physical temple, my hope and my prayer as we come together today, God's Spirit will fill our hearts once again. In order for the Lord to heal our land, he must heal our heart. For our heart affects everything that we do. Solomon would write later, Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. My hope and my prayer is this: God, give us a desire for the things of God. Give us a heart for the house of God. Give us a heart for the church of Jesus Christ. See verse 14 of 2 Chronicles, verse chapter 7, is actually a prescription, a recipe, if you would, if the heavens were to shut up, there'd be no rain. If the locusts were sent and ate up their crops, if the land they were tilling became dry and arid, if things happened because of their disobedience, if things happened because of the choices they had made, God said, then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. But so often we want to point fingers. It's this person's fault, that person's fault, over here, over there. We want to get caught up in all the finger pointing and name calling and labeling and all this. When God says you're missing it, humble yourself. Humble yourself. Pray, seek my face, corporately turn from your wicked ways. He says, I will hear from heaven. That's the promise. I will forgive their sins and I will restore or heal their land. Oh, church, that's the promise that we have. God says, I will heal their land. God has the power to heal our homes, to heal our relationships. God has the power to heal what's wrong with the church. God has the power to heal what's wrong in our nation, in our communities, in our world. The answer is Jesus. He has the power to fix what is wrong. God will restore our land. He is a God of restoration, and he is a God of healing. Amen. Said when Solomon had completed everything he had set his heart to do, pertaining to the temple and to the palace. You could say he was successful in the completion thereof. Hear me. The successes that we have enjoyed have come simply because of the goodness of God. We must never forget, it's not by our own hands that we have done these things. It's by the favor of God. It is God in his goodness that he has showered us with these blessings. This great land has reached the heights of freedom because of the goodness of God and the blessings of the Father. It is in God that we trust. It's not Muhammad. It's not Buddha. It's not Joseph Smith. It's not Mary Edith Brown. It is in God we trust. And may our prayer be, Lord, come and heal our land. We are a broken people. Our sins have hidden our face, your face from us. Our trespasses have hardened our hearts to the will of God. Father, come and heal our land. At the heart of God healing our land is the pursuit of the presence of God. Are you hungry for more? Are you hungry for the presence of God? Are you hungry for the move of God? Do you need God to work and move in your house, your home, your marriage, your situation? Are you ready for what God has in store for you? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, pray, 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 then I will hear from heaven. I will come down and heal their land. Healing is available. Revival is available. Will you come and will you pray? Will you come and will you pray? Healing is available. Will you come today and will you pray? Will you come today?